Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Merrick Pet Care. For over 30 years, Merrick has crafted high-quality dog food. Since our founding in Hereford, Texas, all of Merrick's recipes have prioritized whole nutrition with deboned meat, fish, or poultry as the number one ingredient. That's why we say real is our recipe. Real ingredients and homestyle flavors your pet loves. Look for new Merrick packaging with real ingredients shown on the bag and inside it. Find it online or in your local pet store.
To Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am Christina, one of your hosts, and I'm joined by my two book besties, Anna and Kim. Hello.
Hello.
Oh my goodness.
What are we talking about tonight, Christina?
Guys, the three of us haven't recorded together in a while.
Oh my God, you're right.
Because Christine and I did Fourth Wing, and then Kim, you and I did the Romance Freaks.
Oh my God. Hi. Look at us back again.
I miss us.
The gang is back.
We're back, guys.
Together again. And what an event to come back together for. Okay, friends. We are talking about Daughter of No Worlds by Carissa Broadbent this evening. We will be splitting this episode up into two parts, but we'll be talking about the entirety of the book in both parts. So be sure you have read the entirety of book one. We have not continued on in the series, so we do not know what happens.
No idea.
Yet.
So if we say something and you're like, what are they talking about, those dum-dums? It's because we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
But yes, spoiler for book one. And oh my God, y'all.
Oh, guys. Well, we have been wanting to read this book for so long. Like, it has been recommended to us because we loved Serpent,
yes,
aka The Serpent and the Wings of Night, which we call Serpent,
and Serpent too.
So many of you guys have like DM'd us and recommended it and been like, if you liked that, you would love this series. It's very TOG. And were they ever?
Oh my God,
absolutely
TOG vibes. And we loved were here
it.
For
oh,
it.
Loved it so much.
Love it.
It made me like, because you know, we have a TOG hole in our heart because we just love it so much. And I feel like this kind of like filled it
a little bit. Oh. It kind of put a little like, you know, little filler. It just nice.
Oh, you guys. Guys, it's so good.
Yes. And guys, okay, can we start? We have to start with the prologue, obviously.
Oh.
This woman can write a freaking prologue.
Oh, can she ever?
I mean,
I loved it. You're instantly sucked in. Like, who are these two people? I mean, the first line, not even the first line, the quote above the prologue is like, it begins with two souls who find themselves suddenly, utterly alone. What? Who? Tell me.
I love that. And it's like,
tell me who.
And now, like, as you read, like, okay, so the first time you read that, you're like, oh, like, that's just a quote. But now, like, you know, you get Max's POV and Tassana's POV, and it's like, they're the beautiful two lost souls.
They are.
But then they find each other.
They find each other.
They sure do.
You guys.
God, it's so good.
I'm not going to lie, though. This beginning with, like, her village being raided, like, that was rough. That was hard to read.
It was literally hard to read.
Like, this is TOG. The mines and the slavers and like the
crew. I know.
And the mother. And
the mother kissing her. And her line that she says to her, what does she say? Never look back and never question stepping forward and saying, I deserve to live.
Oh, God.
Which I feel like mirrors, it's similar to what she tells Max at the end.
Yeah.
I want you to live. Like, I don't want you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't remember what she said. But something about like that, even if I fail, you'll keep working at it. You'll keep living. Yeah. You're not going to give up.
Yes. I love that.
I love that.
That moment was so sweet.
I love that she like took that from her mom and like,
passed
it to him. Like, not passed it to him, but like she said the same thing that her mom said to her. It's just so it's beautiful. Sweet,
and that moment really set the tone, I feel like, for the world and her station, like her place in where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like the moment that everyone's there and they're kind of almost trying to convince these people that in our head are awful to take her. And we're like, why? This is just, you're kind of trying to put the pieces together.
I was confused at first. Yeah. I didn't understand, like, why is she voluntarily trying to go with slave traders? And I realized because the alternative was...
Is the mines. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is awful.
It was terrible. But yeah, and what she says back to her mom, and when her mom says that you never question that you deserve deserve to live. She's like, but you deserve to live. And then,
live
oh
too.
God, it's so
oh,
sad.
It's so sad.
But, and then she's like, nope, none of that. She's like, no, yeah. we're going to be strong. And then she gets in that wagon.
Oh, and
she
just...
is a strong, sweet.
And she refuses to cry.
Why?
Yes.
Oh.
She's like, no, I won't like give them
yep.
that mm-hmm. part of me. Oh God. It's, and her mother, I also love how she always remembers the kiss. Like she remembers her mother's kiss yes. on her forehead,
oh.
I think.
Cyril's on her
and
cheek.
And then Cyril's kiss on her cheek. And then Max is on her lips. Lip. Yeah. When he yeah. saves her at the end.
Which like, I love that.
Oh, agreed.
All different types of love. It's so
yeah,
special.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Yes. A mother's love, a friend's love, a lover's love.
A lover's love.
Kim, that is true.
Look at beautiful.
You. I'm so insightful. It's
you
crazy.
Really are. You really are. How do you do it?
I don't know. Who, me?
And then obviously, like, Max
oh, and then Max.
Sucked, too.
Yeah.
Well,
and that was also an interesting, we were trying to figure out what was going on there. It was like, okay,
yeah.
he can kind of do the fire, but then there's this other voice, but then someone's making him do this, and he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, that was sad.
It was very sad, and such a, oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, looking in the windows yeah. and seeing, like, the small faces.
A lot.
I had to, like, kind of just shut that off. I was like, well, I just kind of, like... like skip forward.
Yeah,
and I knew as soon as Max and Nura, is that how you say her name?
I think in the audible it's like Nura, like more like a
Nura.
Nura.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry,
listeners. We are sorry if we mispronounce Nura? Anything.
I know. I'm really sorry. I should have gone listen to her pronunciation bubble on her Instagram.
Oh, that's right. There is one. That's okay.
Anna, why don't we do some world building with Anna? History lesson.
Oh, yes.
Build that world.
My woo-hoo! Favorite.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't check. I didn't Google the entire time I was reading book one. I really could have used a freaking map.
I looked. I could not find one.
Oh, did you look online?
Mm-hmm.
I looked. I mean, I scrolled. I didn't see one.
I scrolled.
And so I have the paperback. So I don't know if it's only the hardcover.
Do you have book two?
No, I don't have book two.
I wonder if it's in book two.
Maybe.
Because didn't she do a map for Serpent?
I don't actually know.
There's a map in Serpent. Yeah, there is.
Okay, you're right.
No, I really could have used a map because I was trying to like picture. I mean, thankfully it's mostly Threl and Ara, but I was very like, I would love to have seen, because I think there's a lot of conquering happening and I would have loved to have seen like the dividing lines between countries.
I just looked for book two. I don't see one.
All right, well, that's okay.
Could've
I made one up in my head.
Yeah, that's all right. We're improvising.
We're improvising.
Could've used that
okay.
map. We did our
so best. Basically the big thing is that there's a lot of countries that are mentioned, but the two main ones are Ara and Threl.
Yep.
And from my knowledge, Threl wasn't always, or Threl was probably some part of a country, but they've been slowly conquering Tisana's homeland. I'm going to mispronounce this. Nizreen.
Nizreen. Sure.
Yeah. That's what
that
I said.
Sounds good.
Okay. Apologies if I mispronounced.
Yeah.
Because it's a real place.
Because people from there are going to be mad at you.
Yeah, they're going to be really mad, Anna. How dare you?
So that was my understanding. Did you guys take that differently?
It was unclear to me, but that sounds fine.
So the entire book, I thought that her home, like where she was born and like escaped with her mother was in Nizreen, was a separate country. And that then she was taken to Threl. And it wasn't until she got back to Threl at the end of the book that she was walking and she noticed where they have the battle against the slaves.
Yeah.
The slave traders. She said that's classic Nizreen building.
Mm.
Like it's not Threl.
So it's a part of Threl?
So I think that's why I all of a sudden changed what I thought.
I was going to say, I thought it was like a place in Threl. Like Threl was like the bigger place.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. So I always thought they were two separate countries until the end. Same. And I think...
Because they say that she's speaking Threlian.
Yes.
But I thought that was because...
Like, we're right, but I just feel like the language is Threlian.
Okay, so that's like,
you know,
oh,
as in Threl.
Nizreen is in...
Like a town, a place in Threl is what I thought.
Oh,
yeah.
Kind of like if you have like America and then all the states.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Okay, sure. We'll
go let's go with that.
Okay, great. Let's
this
go
is why a map would be good.
If we're wrong, let us know. Send us a DM if you have a clearer view on the world.
If you have a map.
Without the map, there's not much we can do. If we get a DM saying there was a map after y'all did the same thing for Fourth Wing, I'm going to die. I will die.
Oh, God.
To be fair, I chose not to Google one because I was worried about spoilers.
That is true. Yeah. So
So we have Ara and Threl are the two main countries that are talked about. They're separated by an ocean or some sort of body of water.
Yes.
The big other thing that we learn about is the orders.
Yes.
The orders are the magic wielders, and there are two types. We have the Valtaine and the Solari. So Valtaine are albino, basically.
Yeah.
Tisana falls under that category, but she's fragmented, which means she's like half albino. Mm-hmm. She's got streaks like of patches of dark hair and patches of darker skin. Patches, yeah.
Yes. One eyes are different colors.
Exactly. And the Solari are, I think of just could be all different shades and right. coloring hair yes. and whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the orders are comprised of those two groups of people. The Veltaine, the albino group of people, make up Order of Midnight.
Yes.
And then the Solari make up the Order of Daybreak.
Yes. Okay.
Their magics are a little bit different too. Mm-hmm. I didn't get like a super great explanation. The best Agreed. Way I could think about it was based off of Samarin and Willa and how they both are healers, but they are yeah. different types of healers. So Samarin is a Solarian, just like Max. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. the Solarian, the Order of Daybreak, their magic is more, the way I took it was like more physical.
Yeah.
Yes.
So manipulation of like physical things. Mm-hmm. So when he is healing somebody, he's like literally fixing bones, knitting together right. skin.
Yes.
And when Willa is fixing somebody, she's Veltaine. It's more intrinsic. It's more internal. I think of it as like mind or like yes. internal organs, like mending. Like she's fixing the internal injuries on
yes.
Tisana.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's more like manipulation of like the magic in yes. general is like seems to be like more manipulation.
Of yes.
like mind control, shadows. Mm-hmm. Although fire is pretty physical. Well, no, that's physical. Shadows are obscure, like not yeah. as, yeah. So yeah. that makes sense. Okay. So, cause like Nura can do shadows and like her mind games with
yeah,
fear and terror.
Oh God.
So those are like I the think two
she
big.
She might be like a different, she might be like a special case. You know what I mean? There's something yeah. going on. With
There's
her.
Something going on there. I think even at some point when they are saving everybody from Tairn or saving, mm-hmm. they're killing mm-hmm. that dude, the yeah. son, Tisana makes a note that Nura's shadows seemed other, like yeah. they didn't come from here. And I yeah. couldn't tell yeah. if she was referencing the fear she was feeling or if it was specifically mm-hmm. the shadows.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I took that as like the shadows and I was like, oh, what's Nura's power? Is something else happening here?
And Max makes a comment about Nura too, like that she's like, oh, can Nura do that? And he's like, yes, like she can do extraordinary yeah. things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So kind of to me, that seems like
she's very powerful.
She's also real, real sneaky. She's a mm-hmm. sneaky.
There's, oh yeah, I can't wait to talk about her.
I don't trust her.
There's, I'm very intrigued by her character.
Yeah,
but we'll save it for when we get to her.
Okay,
so intrigued.
So those are the big things. Great. I think for world building.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so then we jump forward 8 years after the yep. prologue.
Oh
yes,
yeah.
I think she was like 13, so she's like 21. Did I do that math right?
She's 21 because she tells them when they ask her, well, she goes up to the order for the first time.
Yes.
Like, how old are you? And she's like 21, and like, my God, you're ancient. You're ancient. Maxwell's her geriatric. She's like geriatric. Yeah. Like doesn't know
yeah.
what that word means.
I love her language barrier.
At 21. Like,
in what world is 21 geriatric, Max? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Insanity. So yeah, 8 years sorry. Later.
She's in Thrall. She's a slave. She's the slave to this terrible person.
Awful.
I hate him. He's As very Morris. Arabin.
Yeah. He's yeah. super Arabin.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So Arabin.
Major vibes.
Yeah.
Ew. Hate it.
Hate him.
But I love Disgusting. That she was dancing. I thought, like, as a dancer, I thought that was very fun. And then I was like,
agreed. No, I loved when she was, like, counting, like, the 4, 5, 6, yes. Six, seven,
I, like,
eight.
Want yeah, to I see that visually. Like, I think that is agreed. Her magic is so
cool. It's so cool.
And, like, beautiful. Like, yeah. Make butterflies for me. That looks so
I love it.
And I love how she was able to use like her ability to read emotions. Like that's how she was able to like, mm-hmm. you know, secure mm-hmm. extra tips and gold and silver to like
good for her.
Buy her freedom because she was like, yes. I can tell what all these men yeah. want.
And she does it so well.
Yeah. And what it is that they want me to play. Yeah, and she does it well.
So yes. well and knows exactly there's like that young Ugh. Prince there and she's like, oh, he's actually looking at Sarah more than he's looking at me, but that means he's gonna want to show off even more.
Yes. Yes,
I need to be extra with him. He's probably gonna give me more money.
Super
so
smart.
I need to make sure he's new money, so he's trying to look richer, so I yes. uh-huh. to show off, like yeah. all these things that she's figured out because mm. so she's trying to buy back her freedom. So
yes,
she's trying to get tips, get money however mm-hmm. she can in any way mm-hmm. to buy back her freedom because asshole of the world, worst asshole ever in the world, Esmaris, let's say Esmaris, she tried to buy back her freedom a few times and he was like, nope, nope, and made her feel so terrible. Mm. And then was like, 1,000, as if like, you will never get that.
1,000 gold pieces. pieces.
Yeah, you'll never get that.
Cool. No big deal.
You ask. Yeah,
and she works so hard, and she gets it.
She does. And she gets it that night from the dude.
From the guy.
Yeah, from the guy.
And that's where we open, is she gets it, and she's like, oh.
Like, that's where it picks up.
Yeah, I have 1,002 or something.
And she's like, I did it. Like, I finally.
And Cyril is so happy for her.
I love Cyril so much.
I love that.
I love him. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. Like, and she's like, I'm going to come back for you. And he's like, I know.
I know you will. Oh, that was so much.
They like laid awake all night talking, and it's so
it's the sweetest. And then he even says something like, where she's like, he's like, oh, well, he was making eyes at me, and she's like, why didn't you tell me? He's like, oh my god.
Like, yeah, like, so yeah, cute. I love that.
Oh my god, I just love their friendship. Also, a really tiny tidbit, I listened to part of this on Audible, and somehow the voice that is done for Cyril is very, if anyone watches Ted Lasso, it's very like Roy Kent.
I love Roy.
And somehow it just like really worked for me, because I was like, oh, like I think Roy's like sweet and like,
so he has like a British accent,
yeah, but it's also like very gruff, but also like he like has feeling under it, but he's like it's like, I don't know, the way it worked in Audible really reminded me of Roy Kent. Okay, so they're cutie cuties,
they're cute, but things go really,
and then it goes down.
So then she decides to go present the gold pieces to Asmaris, and she's so proud, and she's, you know, like, I did it here,
yeah,
here's the gold pieces, you asked for 1,000 and here they are, and I'm free now. It is so terrible. Can you imagine? I can't, but like,
no,
somebody looking at you with like such disbelief of like, and then he says, you forgot who you are.
Who you were. I mean, you piece it's of shit.
Disgusting.
I don't need your money. Like,
yeah, okay, well, then why did you say that then? Why did you say 1,000?
Like, it's
you
so that. Gross.
And then he does all these terrible manipulative things to her. And you can really tell, this is also a very effective scene to tell how emotionally, how he has fucked her up emotionally with their relationship.
Oh, it's like Stockholm, like loving your captor.
Yes, yes.
He's saying these awful things, and she's like, there's a part where he's like, should I make you count them? And she's like, I will if you wish. Like, sure, it's all there. And it's just, oh God. And then he's like, how'd you earn it? Did you whore out for this? Did you embarrass me by like,
yes, so I forgot about that. Terrible. I was like, oh, you,
yeah, she slept with you for the last 8 years. You fucking gross. Yeah,
exactly. You raped her for 8 years, you disgusting human. I hate him.
It's awful.
It's so bad. And then she's like, and then hurt. Like, she feels like he, so she can sense emotions, right? So he's angry. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he's hurt. And she even at that moment is like leaning on his desk and saying, please. And he just goes, get off my desk and kneel.
Oh my God.
And it's so disgusting.
Oh, you guys. And
okay, so then it is one of the most, I would say, gruesome whipping scenes that I've read. Because I think a lot of times in these books, that's off page and we just see the scars.
We just see the scars.
The fact that it was happening on page to me was, it was rough. It was really rough to read.
I, at the time, was like, oh, this is the worst part of the book. Wrong, but.
Wrong.
It was terrible, but I was like, oh, this is the worst it's going to get. And then I was like, that's hilarious, Cameron.
Yeah.
It was so rough.
It was really bad. And you hear her counting it
in their head,
and the crack of the you know what I mean, and then she turns around and she puts her arms up to block her face, and she's like, look at me.
Yes.
I was like, this is the moment,
this is it.
Something's about to happen.
Yep, it's happening.
Shit's about to go down right now. Like, I love that she was like, look at me, if you're gonna kill me, like look at me.
Yeah,
and he tried not to, and she was like, scream, look at me. It was
her magic finally came out.
Yes.
Oh, and she just snapped his brain, just fucking killed him.
Just mush.
Didn't even touch him.
Straight up. And she doesn't even know how she did it. She's just like so angry. And then she goes in his brain place. And he's like, what's happening? And she's just like, squishes.
Just like squishes like his brain. And I loves like, yes.
Yes.
I was like, yes, I'm so glad you're dead.
It was really great. And then Cyril comes in. He's like,
what the fuck?
He's like, what happened in here?
Yeah.
And thankfully, he's a quick thinker. And he just takes his sword.
Oh,
yeah.
Sweet Cyril.
He's like, could be anybody.
Yeah. And she's having a rough time. Thank God she has Cyril there, which of course she is.
Thank God.
She's been beaten to within an inch of her life.
And he's like, all right, here we go. We got to get you bandaged. I'm going to take this sword. I'm going to stab him. Uh-huh. Then we're going to go and we're going to see Voss. We got to get you out of here. Let's go.
Yeah.
All this stuff. And then they get her out.
They get her out.
And Voss is like, helps. She's like, oh, haha. I paid him. He said I could go.
I paid him. Like, I'm free.
Really? Cool. Good for you, girl.
Yeah.
She's like dripping.
It's like dripping down
her It's going
legs.
Down the back of her legs. Oh, yeah. I was like, why couldn't we put, like,
well,
I don't
know. Coat out of the closet. And then.
Yeah, they get a coat out of the closet, but that's all she has on her body, so she's just like naked underneath.
Well, he bandages her because she's like, this is really gonna hurt.
Yeah.
And she's like screaming, and then it's just like dripping. How this girl did not die in this journey is beyond me.
You guys,
insanity. So she's this level of wounded.
Fantasy reasons.
Yeah, she's this level of wounded, like literally dire. And she gets up on a horse somehow. And
how Sarah, the hell she's riding a fucking horse.
No clue. And Sarah, being the sweet sweetie he is like, okay, go ahead. And she's like,
you're not coming?
What? You're not coming? And he's like, no. Oh,
this broke my heart.
It was really, it was sad and sweet. He was like, I have to be here. What was his reason? He was like,
it was
I have
because
to be
if
here.
I, if he leaves, he's Asmeris's like personal guard. If he's not there when they, when it's discovered, then like she would be hunted.
Okay.
And nobody would be free. Like both of them would be dead.
Right. Because he was like, I could say it was anybody.
Yeah.
He has a lot of enemies.
Because if he's gone, then they're like, oh, he's with T'Sana. And
walking her to her freedom. And then when he gets back is when he'll find the body.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, but it was so, she was like, you have to come with me. And
it
he was like,
so sad.
You'll come back. Oh, guys, it was so sad. Oh, God. Okay. But anyway, she's off. She's off on the horse. Uh-oh. The horse falls and it needs
snaps
to die.
Its leg.
So she snaps his leg. So then she kills it and is like, well, while I'm here, while I'm down, I'm going to eat the horse. And I was like, what the fuck is happening in this book right now?
I blocked it out. You guys told me this yesterday after I finished the book. And I was like, no, she didn't. No, she didn't eat a horse. And you guys were like, yes.
Yeah, that time she ate the horse. And I was like, no.
No, no, I don't think she ate it. And I was like, no, definitely didn't.
No, she ate it.
I didn't believe you.
I apologize.
And then I looked it up.
And homegirl ate that horse. You know what? Dire times.
Would be dead. I would just sit down and die.
Same.
She gets across. She takes a little barge somehow.
For weeks. She's open wounds on her back, which, okay.
Fevers galore.
She's on a dirty barge.
Infections galore. Whatever.
As Max would say, just her pure brute force is getting her through this.
Literally, that's it. That's it. Brute force.
So she finally makes it to Ara, and she gets to the towers and basically collapses, and she's like, take me to Xerath.
She's trying to say those like sentences she's been practicing. I know, Xerath. Oh, no. Whatever.
I am friend of Xerath.
I am friend of Xerath. Oh, her broken language. It was like, I actually really loved that.
Me too.
Like, tool, or I don't know, not tool, same. But like the thing that, you know,
aspect,
Carissa put in about her not the language barrier, because I think, A, I think it was done very well.
Agree.
B, I think it really added to her, like the dynamic between her and Max, especially with like the frustration of the two of them, him already being frustrated that somebody was in his space, but then the frustration of like, oh, you don't understand me. Why don't you understand me?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, her, it added like funny moments. Mm-hmm. It was some little levity was needed, but also it just kind of, it almost like allowed for this very frank way of like speaking. Like she could just kind of say what she was saying and very straight to the point, because she couldn't beat around the bush.
Yes, exactly.
And so it felt like it helped with like there was no real miscommunication ever.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
That was also a very really cool thing to listen to on the Audible.
Mm-hmm.
Her in her accent, in doing the broken English, the accent she gave to T'Sana, and then like speaking the broken English to Max, who had a different accent. Like it just it really translated really well to the Audible. It was really cool.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I need to go listen to that. I'm curious.
They also had a male actor play voice Max when we got to his POVs, his chapters, which I always love.
What a great touch.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Okay, so she's there. She's at the orders.
We're at the orders. She wakes up in a hospital room.
Willa's like, hey, girl.
Tending her.
Are you okay? And she's like, where am I?
Where's Xerath?
And Willa is like, takes care of her. But also this whole time I was suspicious of Willa because she's like super sweet and nice. But also like, I was like, what's going on?
What's happening?
Yeah.
Then.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Dove. You use all the right skincare products for your face, but your body has been missing out. With new Dove Serum Body Wash, you can give your body the vitamin C glow it's been wanting, the hydration boost it's been craving, and the active skincare ingredients it deserves. It's time for your body care era. New Dove Serum Body Wash. Get Dove or get FOMO.
Neera comes in?
Is comes in and she has a letter from Xerath that says, like, she's special. Like, let's give her some training.
Let's give her a try.
Yeah.
So Neera is like, I know just who to take you to. He's real grumpy.
You're gonna love him.
Love him.
Let's go. And everyone else is like, what?
What?
Not him. He is the grumpiest
Again, she's geriatric, quote unquote.
So, geriatric! geriatric. I was geriatric. Like, you guys.
Also, to be fair, the other, seeing Moth, the other apprentices who are like legitimate children, like, okay, she's, okay. She's
fine. She's geriatric past compared her prime.
To yeah, yes, yeah, we get it. Sure.
Got it. Oh, also an important note, when she is there, they like do this weird, like sketchy thing where they take her blood and she's like, what are you doing with that? And they never talk about it again.
Yes. I highlighted that and I thought it was weird at first. I was like, ooh, this is going to be really important.
I thought it was weird too.
But then Max had one. Mm-hmm. And now I know why they both had one. It was because right, they tested exactly. both their blood. But when I saw that Max had a scar, I was like, oh, it's just like an insignia from the, like, I thought it was.
Everybody gets it.
I thought
it's
they were
tattoo.
Putting like a tracker into her.
Oh, that would have. Tracker into her. Very Hunger Games.
I don't know why I thought that, like why they would need a tracker, but.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So then we meet Max.
Max.
Oh. Guys.
Cutie.
He wasn't cute in the beginning to me.
No, he was an old man for Anna, and he was Frodo Baggins from Lord of the Rings for me.
He was an old man with a hoarding problem.
I will say the hoarding really stressed me out.
Oh, anxiety.
Oh my God.
And the way he goes, these are, like, she looks around and she's like judging all of the knickknacks, and he immediately goes, they're all very important.
I was like, nope.
I was like, okay.
I could not live here.
We need to Marie Kondo this. Does this spark joy?
Yes. Where are your trash bags? Let's go.
Yep. Let's go.
But we're going to start with the bottles of wine and we're going to move forward from here.
I was going to say, my immediate thought was that I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get past this whole situation. Trait. But I did.
Well, they didn't harp on it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't really, I mean, you knew it was cluttered, but like they didn't.
You knew
go
it was cluttered.
Like,
yeah. Thank God.
Super detail.
I'm going to think it was just like a cozy little like clutter and we're just going to. Yeah.
Yep. That's how I
picture. But so he's in his cutie little grumpy hobbit hole.
Yes.
With his beautiful garden.
And the prettiest garden in all the land, legitimately.
Guys, you can't tell me that that's not the Shire. Like, Google image Lord of the Rings, Shire.
I'm aware. I've seen the extended edition. Our husbands make us watch it. We know.
Okay, I've never even, me, of all people, I've never seen a single movie. I've never read a single book. And I'm like, Frodo Baggins, why?
So to me, I honestly pictured in Beauty and the Beast, Belle's cabin. Like her little stone. That's what I pictured.
Okay.
That's, it was like a little tiny cute. Stone place in the middle of the woods, but with tons of roses everywhere.
Beautiful. Everywhere.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Love that.
So that worked for me.
That works better than the hobbits. Mm-hmm.
The issue was then Belle's father was coming into my head as the old man.
Oh, God. No. Don't let that
happen. About geriatric. Max seemed geriatric when he first met him. Is this an elderly man? Like, is this our love interest?
Give me a 500-year-old fae male
any day.
But you're a 28-year-old man who gardens? Hard pass.
Like, I am not cut out for this. Also, where are my reading glasses?
I was like, what? Guys, what am I reading? Like, what are we?
It also, like, where are my reading glasses? I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, let me just sit here in my, like, hobbit hole.
I was like, oh, he's 85. Cool. What's he going to do? He's 85. Like, how's he going to train her? How is he going to train her for this
evaluation? And she says he looks like late 20s, which makes sense because they were 21, I think, when they went to the battle or something. Like, he's 8 years older than her, I think.
Yeah. I think he's like late 20s.
Yeah, I think she's
early 30s.
I think she says he looks late 20s, which he could be 30 something.
Right.
But regardless, he's not old. Anyways,
regardless, not an old man, but seems like it.
Yeah. So yeah, he does not want to do this. He's pissed. He hates the order. Him and Yura have some tension between them.
Oh, tension.
It's written very well.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Did you, like, I immediately was like, okay, they're the prologue and their sexual history here.
I was like,
yes.
Oh, they were in love. Yes. And something terrible, it was that terrible thing happened and now he hates the world.
Enter the garden and the hobbit charm.
I love real quick, because he's being so grumpy and this is like a perfect example of her language barrier. She's like, why so many hates do you have?
Yeah.
And he literally just goes, huh?
Huh? What?
What?
It was so cute.
Oh, bless her little heart.
It's so cute.
So she starts getting frustrated with him because he won't train her.
Yes.
Yes. And it's been made very clear to her, this is your only option. No one else can train you. Everyone else has an apprentice or years ago. Mm-hmm. And you can only be in the order by passing these tests. Mm-hmm. And he's the only one that can train you.
Yes.
So she's like, this is my only option. She's like the most driven brute force gal. And she's like, I have been through so much to get here.
You're not going to bring me down.
Yeah.
So she's like literally just focusing on stratagems, drawing circles in the dirt, which apparently mean jack shit because they change every time you use them.
Exactly.
That's very confusing.
I could see him like staring at her going like, what the fuck is this girl doing?
Yeah.
Oh, and like him finally being so frustrated with her ineptitude that he like comes out, and that's when she's like, why so many hates do you have?
Yeah. And he's like, what?
What's happening?
So then she says the line that like makes him change his mind. And she tells him like what she's been through and that she was a slave and like everything that it took for her to get here. And that she has so many people back home that she needs to save and protect. Yeah. And I think that resonates with him because he has so much guilt and grief about all the people he couldn't save.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think there was a line about like hope being like a fragile eggshell.
Eggshell hope.
Oh, the eggshell.
Yes.
Beautiful.
There were so many moments in this book where I was like, I have never heard something phrased this way that instantly made so much sense to me and was so clear. It wasn't as like lyrical as like her Serpent series.
No, yeah, I agree.
But it was like more these like quiet, powerful lines that really struck you in a completely different way. And she was said something about like eggshell hope. And I was like, that is a beautiful way to put that.
God, how gorgeous. It's like fragile and special and like, oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. She basically tells him, because he's like, why do you want to join the order? And she's like, I want to help my people. And so he's like, so you want to use the order to like help people? For and she's good. Like, yes.
Yes.
And so I think that's what makes him be like, oh, because he doesn't see the order that way.
Yeah.
And now we know, like,
she
very
says,
good reason.
I need this, they, like meaning her friends and people back in Thrall, they need this. Like, I'm not doing this for me.
Right.
Like, personally, it's not personal gain.
Yes.
It resonates with him because I think as we learn later, it's like he compares her to the painting he saw that really helped him get out of his deep, dark place.
Oh, God.
And that if there's always these moments of, you know, beauty on the other side of ugliness. And Tisana, he realizes, is that beauty that like is seeking to do better and be better. And he's like, okay,
it's really good.
I'll train you.
Yeah.
So then a bunch of training montages happen.
Yeah. Training montage.
We trained for a long time. He's like, make that butterfly, make it better, make it glass, make it not
be specific.
This way.
Gonna
be
do
specific.
This. Do these petals.
Make a flower, but be specific, but make it different. And like then twirl it around. And it's just like all these
bring
things.
Bring it downtown.
Bring it downtown. One hop this time.
Cha-cha now, y'all.
Exactly. Make the flowers cha-cha. So there's a lot of that, and it's like they're joking and laughing and blah blah. I think at this point also we meet Samarin. He comes in.
Samarin comes in. Yes,
Moth,
we meet Samarin. I love him. I love Moth.
He's a hot mess. He's very sweet.
Also, I think this is when maybe Samarin shows up. There's just I don't even know if this is what it is, but it's just a line from Max around that time. He goes, I thought living in the middle of nowhere meant that I didn't have to lock my doors. What did I ever do to make my house so welcoming? I really try to be as pleasant as possible.
I love that. That's why I think he's a grumpy old man.
He's okay. So also, there's a really funny line that Tisana like says. She says, I quickly learned that Max was apparently only made for an exceptionally narrow set of environments, temperatures, activities, and interactions. And I was like, that's it. I love him. Same. He's outside one day. He's like, I'm not made for this. And just like goes back inside. I love it.
I love how that's his model.
He's not made for
time.
A lot of things.
Throughout the entire book, it's
I'm not made for this.
He gets on the boat and he's like vomiting because he sees it. I'm not made for this.
I'm not made for this.
The day when it's really, really hot and he just walks, he's like, oh, I am not, I'm so not made for this. I was like, this is so Kim. I feel like this is like,
I've never resonated with anything more in my life. Like me on my walks, Marco Polo, you guys being like, guys, why do I live here? I can't do this. Like I might die. And it's like, just calm down. Like calm down. Yourself.
Go drink some water.
Oh, truly. But it felt very Air of Fire, but in like the best way. It was so good. They just had very like quiet, sweet interactions that were still like very meaningful.
Yes.
Agreed.
Okay. So they have a little outing to the Capitol.
Yes.
And it's like her first time being out in around other people besides Max in quite some time. And she's like very overwhelmed because she feels other people's emotions.
Yes.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And they
go
to his friend. Do you say Via or?
I said Via.
Via? Okay,
but
I like
probably
that
Via. Who
I would
knows?
Say Via. I like
Let's
that
go
better.
With Via.
So yeah, his friend Via makes weapons and he goes to her. Now I can't remember why they go see her.
So it's actually very
he's
confusing.
Buying the ink.
He's buying the vials.
The special vials for her to start practicing using stratagems.
Stratagems.
Right, and he's like, pick a color.
Stratagems.
Yes.
Sorry, stratagems.
Stratagrams. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she sells them the ink that, which Tisana doesn't know why. Like, she doesn't know why what they're doing there or why, but it's so that he can teach her the stratagems, which she's wanted to learn for so long. It's very sweet. So then they walk out and there is a psycho little 12-year-old queen named Cessri, who Anna and I both pictured Dakota Fanning from Twilight.
Absolutely.
Like,
yes, 1,000%.
Is it too specific? But like, it is Dakota Fanning.
It is Dakota Fanning.
Deranged, like dead behind the eyes.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with her.
Yes.
And like very easy to anger and just like always unhinged. Yes.
Unhinged completely. She's literally 12, you guys. So she is executing a supposed traitor to the crown.
Mm-hmm.
And she is accusing him of treason or whatever. And he's like, I did nothing wrong. And it's very upsetting for Max. Obviously, you learn later why it is upsetting for him. Yeah. And then Tisana is very upset because she's feeling the emotions of not only him, but the queen.
Yeah.
The crowd is very upsetting. And then Max tries to intervene.
Well, they call him up on stage. All the guards look and they're like, and then she's like, Max, come up here. And he just like looks, he goes, fuck. And then they call him up.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. And that's when we like figure it out, because then she's using him like, and look at him. He's a war hero. His parents died for this and you betray him. And he's like, no. Don't talk about my family.
Which, God, you guys, after you
know.
Disgusting.
I know. That hits differently after you
know. You're right. So yeah, the queen tries to be like, whatever, look at him. And he's like, no, we're not going to do that. And he says, what happened to my family was a tragedy, not a political statement. And this is not what they or your father died for. He would be ashamed to see you using his death to justify this circus. Well, she doesn't like that. She gets little pissy and like gets very upset. And I think Nura has to like step in and be like,
she does.
Okay.
She's like, he doesn't know what he's saying. He's crazy.
he's a lunatic. Who is this
man? Pity on the poor crazy man.
He's drunk. What?
Don't you know he's a recluse? Haven't you heard the tales of the scary man in the woods in his garden?
Yeah, God.
And then there's the other like crazy Valtaine guy there that's her advisor. That is a moment where he's like, Cessri like looks at Tare and he looks at Max and he's like, don't you dare, Tare. Like, Tare, stop it. Like, he like knows him and it's really funny. Yeah.
It's you just see like Max. It's so interesting to see him in that situation.
One of the big things that I took away from that scene was that we find out that the guy that was being executed had like bad or ill feelings about the order.
Right.
So it would, based then off of the epilogue, what I'm thinking is that like all of these people that she's been executing probably weren't all traitors, but that they're being planted as traitors because they are, you know, against the regime.
Absolutely.
And Xerath wants to like, I think, overtake everything. I think he wants to be king.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. So he's telling Tare, like, tell her that he's a traitor. And then her and her little like unhinged child mind.
He's 12-year-old. Praying. She saw her father apparently killed right in front of, murdered by in front
his,
of
like, by best his best friend or something. Yeah.
But how upsetting.
She's like so unhinged. It's such an inner like child. Such a look into her psyche too, that she is like screaming at him like, stop lying. You're lying. I might be young, but I'm not naive and I'm not weak and like screaming. And it's like,
for her in that moment.
You're really pushing this girl. Like this is very telling is what's happening here.
Oh, truly. Like you could see she had no grasp on what to do. Like she was
Emotional manipulation that is clearly happening between Taryn and Xerath based on the epilogue is not helping her situation at all.
No, I think they're making her paranoid.
No.
Like I think she's very paranoid. Yes, that's the key.
Yes.
Very paranoid.
Yes.
They want her to be that way. They are making her that way.
Yes.
But you didn't see that then at the time. I was like, this girl is crazy. Loco in Lacta Base.
No, you think that she's just like a psychotic, like a Dakota Fanning.
Yes.
And then it's at the very end that you're like, Oh shit.
Carissa?
Yeah. Love it. We love to see it.
Yes. Sneaky snake.
Okay. So the next thing that happens is we go do like another training session.
Yep.
Oh yes.
In the pond.
The pond. I loved the pond.
We see, Carissa loves a serpent, guys.
She loves it.
She loves a serpent.
Very prevalent. Yep.
But that we see a Max use his magic kind of for like the first time, really.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he makes like a water serpent.
Yeah.
And like splashes.
He's helping her like figure out her, because he makes her jump off the cliff.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't swim.
Yeah.
And he makes her jump off the cliff, and then she is like elevated by these bubbles, like this like flow of water.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, Max, like, you're doing that. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
What? But then he gives us like a war history. He's like, I'll keep talking and answering your questions if you keep like, I don't know, making damn butterflies or something.
Probably.
And he's also doing the like, this is when we do like the ripples thing, like the people's emotions are like the ripples and emotions. Water and the thing.
Yeah,
and the,
that's right.
Yes, this is the first time we see Max do, I think, actual like more magic than
more
just like,
yeah.
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 Besides in the prologue. Cool. Mm-hmm. And then, like, of course, we have the scar moment where he sees all of her scars and he's like, who did this to you?
Oh, I love this. I love that moment.
I know.
I love a who hurt you moment.
I love a who did this to you.
He walks out of the water and he just...
He's like staring.
Because she had forgotten. Oh, because she felt so safe with it. Like, she didn't even think about her back because she felt so safe with Max that she wasn't trying to cover herself constantly. And this line... This was the moment when I... Can we all agree this is the moment we fell in love with Max?
Yes.
I think so. Okay. He looks at her back and he has like that intense, you know, gaze that all the male protagonists have. And he says, I hope that whoever did that to you died a terrible, painful death. And I hope that if there is an underworld, they suffer there forever.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I love it.
Oh, so good. So
forever.
Good.
Yeah. And then she like basically is like, yeah, he's dead. And he's like, good. Because she still feels guilty about it. She still feels bad, which I'm like, girl,
sweet Tisana.
Do not need to do that.
Okay. This was confusing to me.
Yeah. The Marisol?
Yeah.
Who never comes back again.
The next thing that happens is we meet this girl, Marisol, who was a hummingbird.
No, I don't think she was. He was kidding.
But like also, then who? I was like, then...
Wait, I thought she was a hummingbird.
I thought she was a hummingbird.
Oh, I really took that as sarcasm.
Okay, maybe. But then who is she?
I thought that she tried.
I literally thought he made her a human.
No, I didn't think that was possible. So I thought because she says, what's wrong with her? And he quickly, like very quickly whips his hat around. He goes, what do you think? Why do you think something's wrong with her? And I took that later as like whatever happened to him, like the Riche, you know how they've tried to put Riche into multiple other people and it's never worked. I thought they tried to put Riche into her and it warped her brain. Which is why he's very defensive and he lets her come onto the property because he doesn't let hardly anybody come on the property.
Right. Okay. He says, she's harmless. She just wanders around. She's a little strange, but I suppose that makes sense since she wasn't always human. And then she in her head's like, wasn't always human. He goes, what was she? I asked immediately, fascinated. He says, a hummingbird. And then we just move on.
I just took that as like, I thought he was telling like a joke, but he for all I fucking know, she's a hummingbird.
I think she was, but how did
he's like, she wasn't always human. Like, so what was she? Is she?
I just don't think that they have that power to like transfigure people, but I thought
me
that
either,
like,
but this is why it was weird to me that it was so weird.
Then she doesn't come back.
But then we just moved on and she never came back. Like what?
Unless like she was introduced because she's going to be important later.
Maybe.
Which maybe. Otherwise, what's the point?
Because then she said, I blinked blankly at him. He picked one of the mini gold figurines off the mantle and tossed it to me like this. I looked down at the image of the bird in my palm and then she was like, yeah, a hummingbird. She's trying to say hummingbird. And then he said, yeah, Max replied a little too casually. She wanted to be a person, so I made her into one. You made her? Yes. You can? Yes. And then she goes, you were lying, making a joke. He goes, me? Never. I'm thoroughly humorless. So maybe he was joking?
That's why I took it as a joke, because I thought he was like going...
I don't think that was written that... Like, I think that could have been...
I thought she was a hummingbird.
I took it as him trying to joke with her.
Okay. I think that makes more sense. I was like,
This whole time, up until we've had this conversation, I had thought she was a hummingbird.
Me too. Me too. I was like, wow, that's a weird piece of magic we never touched on again.
I was like, transfiguration in outside of Harry Potter? That's weird.
That's literally why. So I think I did this part of the outline. That's why I put her in here, because I wanted to be like, did we never bring that up again, that he can make objects into people?
Yeah, I feel like that would have come up again.
Well, that went right over our heads.
I really hope, I mean, I was hoping we would see more. I mean, maybe we'll get more of her in the second or third book.
Maybe so.
Otherwise, I don't know what the fuck her point is.
I was going to say, it seemed like a very specific, weird thing
to put like
in there.
I feel like an editor would have read that and been like, okay, but she's not back again. So why is she in here?
I guess it did give us a little of like niceness of Max, that he's like, oh, why does everyone keep showing up at my door? I'm grumpy, but also clearly I'm sweet because I always take care of her and she's like comfortable here. And like, I always, it's like I'm like, take care of this visitor.
I don't know.
Which is why I thought she had the Riche in her, because he was like very sympathetic towards her.
That would make sense. That would make sense.
A lot more sense than a hummingbird.
Let's be clear. Everything makes more sense than her being a hummingbird. But in my mind, I was like, well, guess this is what we're doing. She's a hummingbird.
She's a hummingbird. To be fair, when I first read it, I didn't know what to believe. I was like, I find it really hard to believe that she was a hummingbird, but I can't tell if he's joking, but I think he's joking. And then it wasn't until I saw the man on the table in the room that was like, his mind was broken, I was like, ooh, I bet that's what happened to Marisol.
That is smart.
That's an interesting theory.
An interesting insight.
It would be interesting for the future too.
Watch, like, we clearly figure this out in book two and people are listening to this like, guys,
you idiots.
She's clearly a hummingbird.
Guys, come on. she's actually a hummingbird.
People are screaming at us right now.
Change people.
He can do whatever he wants.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think there's really not much to talk about with the Battle of Tarn, except for a really important moment in Max and Tisana's relationship is that he lets her into his mind, and he has not done that since Nira
invaded his mind
without his consent. That's clearly a really big deal for him.
Yes.
And she basically is like begging him, like, trust me, please let me in, like, let me save them. And so he lets her into his mind, and it's a big moment for them. It's kind of like a shift moving them forward, in that he really trusts her, because that's a very sacred thing for him, especially.
Totally. Yeah.
Obviously, you completely now understand
why. Oh, 1,000%.
And it also then sets up our next very important big moments for them, because in this Battle of Tarn, they're up and, you know, placed with the guy, whatever. In the Battle of Tarn, Nira has her scary nightmare terror shadows. And because their minds are connected, they can see each other's, like, he sees what is in
what her fears are, what Tisana's fears are. Yeah.
He can see her fears, and she sees into his. So this is then setting up a lot of important conversations they have later, where she is like, who was the little girl?
Yeah.
He is like, I saw your master. They have that vulnerability where they actually see things too.
Very, lots of clever little writing tools that she uses in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them.
Very much
so.
Okay. So yeah, like Christina says, that helps, that kind of brings us into our next part, which is they both have insomnia and they do little garden walks in the middle of the night.
I loved this.
Loved
the
it.
The image of them in the moonlight and him sitting there clipping and her just sitting down next
roses.
To him, and her just sitting next to him and them just talking.
It's so sweet.
Guys, I loved this.
Something about this
really was just, I pictured it so well.
Agreed. It worked.
Wasn't she like trying to make butterflies or flowers maybe?
She was working on her flowers.
She was working on her flowers, remember, he's, like, and he's snipping.
Uh-huh.
And she asks about the little girl and that she saw in his mind, and he says it was my sister, and you learn that like he had 6 siblings and he said the house was always very loud.
Yeah.
And you can tell, you know, they're all passed away.
Yeah.
And you don't know the horror yet.
No. Absolutely.
But you feel for him. He's lost his entire family.
Yeah.
And she's very gentle with him, and she doesn't push.
She's very patient.
You know, she doesn't like push too hard, but he is very you know, telling her things, because she's like, who was the little girl? And is this when he says the sweet thing about Kira? About how, like,
she was just getting started.
Yeah.
She was just getting started. They didn't know what her, you know, like, so not everybody who is Solari has magic. Mm-hmm. I should have said that in the beginning.
Yeah.
So his 5 of his siblings didn't showcase anything, but Kira, the youngest, seemed to be showcasing some, like, wielder magic potential. Uh-huh. And he's like, but we never will know, because...
And then he's like, no one got the chance to see what she'd become or what she'd... And then he just, like, has to stop talking.
Oh, God. It's so
sad.
But
they're, like, just sharing back and forth these sweet, beautiful things.
Yeah.
Like, he says that, then they're silent, and then she's like, when the slavers came to my village, I left everyone behind, everyone I knew. My friends, my family, my mother, they were sent to the mines. Only I was sold to the lords. And, like, it's just, like, they are going back and forth.
Yeah.
Do you have the one that's, like, I hate their deaths? That line is really powerful.
Okay, yeah. And then she goes, the worst thing, though, is to think that they are all buried somewhere in a hole with so many other slaves, and I hate their deaths. But what I hate more is that there is no one left who remembers their lives.
Oh,
and then he says,
so heartbreaking.
And who the hell are we, he finally said, voice low and thick, to carry something so precious.
Oh, God. That's such a beautiful line.
It's like, gorgeous. Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. And I just, guys, it's so powerful, but in, like, the most...
Yeah. She, like, lays back, and then he is like, who was the blonde guy, Cyril? And she's, like, really upset. She's like, I left him. Like, he helped me, and I left him. And then he's like, you're going to get him back. And then she's like, thank you for coming with me.
Yeah.
And he just says, we made an all right team. And then they both, like, fall asleep next to each other.
They fall asleep next to each other.
Yeah.
It's so cute, you guys.
So cute. Cute.
Oh,
I love it.
So yeah, so I think this starts, like, a whole progression of them, like, kind of sharing
a whole
more.
Progression. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, another really sweet moment later. He's asking, I think, about, like, her past and her story. She says, the day I tried to buy my freedom, he told me that I forgot what I was. Perhaps in a way he was right, I said, but I forgot who he was too. I forgot that he was someone who could never see me as more than a possession.
Mm.
Later that night, I love how they go, like, sit by the fire at night together.
Oh, me too.
And he, like, reads his little crooked glasses, and she
practices
her magic.
The reading glasses.
It's so sweet.
Cute.
And so he's, like, really quiet. She's, like, almost asleep. Like, she's kind of, like, going in and out. And he just goes, the way I look at it, he said very solemnly, so quietly that his words slipped into the air like steam. You didn't forget what you were. I think you remembered. And I hope no one ever again has the fucking audacity to tell you otherwise.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I love him so
God.
Much.
So good.
He is so precious.
And
so
the like perfect. Protectiveness and like I hope fucking audacity. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Beautiful.
It's so like Rowan in that way. Like it's very and I guess like I haven't read Fourth Wing, but it feels very Zayden to be like, I believe in you, like you're strong, you can do this.
You can
like,
do this.
I'm he's building
so,
you.
He's so like supportive of her and like lifts her up in like just such a wonderful way because she's obviously like battling like a lot of feelings of like shame and guilt over everything.
Yeah. That's so great.
They're really helping each other so beautifully.
Yeah.
They are. They are.
Oh God. Okay. Speaking of sweet, tender moments.
Yes. Oh, you
right
guys.
Before she goes for her evaluations.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
He gives her a gift.
Oh God.
And this has to be the first time anybody's given her anything meaningful. Like I'm not talking about the stupid nightgowns that Ismaris gave her. Yeah. Like gives her a gift that's just for her, that was made just for her.
So thoughtful.
And it's the necklace, and when she opens it and it's a bunch of little chains.
It's little butterflies.
Collected together in the back with little butterflies and then one little serpent.
The serpent.
And
the
I was serpent. Like, that's so sweet.
I loved it. And then the stratigrams on
the back. She flipped it. And there's the stratigrams.
There's like one for healing. One for...
And then we'll help you. Okay, she goes, this one will help you heal. Not a lot, but enough for little cuts and bruises. And then he's like, this one will bring you warmth, help you start fires. Again, limited, but I thought maybe if you're traveling all over Thrill, you might need that kind of thing. Oh God. Max straightened when he spoke again. His voice was lower, rougher, as if he were tethering something back. Oh. That one will bring you here. He paused, clearing his throat. If you ever wanted to return, it'll only work within a few miles, but his voice trailed off and did not resume. Guys.
I love that it's like, if you want to. Like, you don't have
just,
to.
It's just like, if you want to. And like, oh my God. And then she goes on and she's like, he wasn't giving me another pretty trinket. Max, the man who had taken such great care to carve out his own solitary corner of the world, was giving me what I'd never had. The real gift was not the necklace. The gift was a home to come back to.
Oh!
Guys. My God. This is when I texted you guys and I said, well, I'm done. Like, this is it. I am over the moon officially in love.
Over
like,
the moon in this, love with
I'm
him.
I'm done. Yes. Like, he's no longer a grumpy old man. Like,
no, he is a beautiful, beautiful man.
We have ascended.
And I...
We have ascended. We've ascended. Now find all the grumpy old man behavior adorable.
The last quote of like, you know, he puts a necklace on her.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's, oh God, I love this so much. Okay.
Read it.
He says,
right up.
She says, thank you. It is perfect. I let my hair drop. His fingers slid from my shoulders. I figured you should have something both beautiful and functional, like you. He said it so quickly that it almost didn't register. I whipped my head around to look at him. Max, I breathed, touching my heart with exaggerated awe. You think I'm functional? A dancing smile glinted in his eyes. I think, he said, that you are breathtakingly functional.
Oh, God, that's such a sweet...
And he, like, walks away. And then she's like, I thought he was breathtakingly functional, too. He was the most breathtakingly functional thing I had ever seen. I love, like, the descriptions of the two of them. It's,
It's so unique.
Sweet, but like lighthearted too. It's very unique.
Yeah.
Very
breathtakingly functional, and it works for them.
It works. You get it.
Yes.
You get
it. And it means something to them. Like they're just so sweet together in that.
Mm-hmm.
Their little like dynamic that makes sense for them.
Yeah.
That if you read somewhere else out of context or with another couple, you wouldn't really get the same emotion from it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so well done.
And Tassana is she's kind of funny.
She is funny.
You know?
Oh, totally.
She's cunning. She's witty. And even with the language barriers, she has like this little quips about her that she says, you know,
she makes like little jokes.
Yeah. It's great.
Oh my God,
I love
there's
it.
One part where she made a fart joke. I was like, a fart joke.
Yeah. And they were in the pond and he's boiling the water. And she's like, she's like, Max, people told me that was rude to do.
And he's like, oh my God.
He goes, did you just make a fart joke?
Oh, it's so good.
It takes him a second to register. And then he like bursts out laughing.
Okay, guys. Oh God. Then we have our evaluations.
All right. So we get there. There's a real funny, cute thing where they're walking in and walking in with Moth and Samarin. And Samarin's like, Moth's gone an entire week without destroying even one thing. We're all very proud of him. Like,
they're all, we're so very, very funny. Proud.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, except the pitcher. But the pitcher wasn't my fault. He's like, yeah, yeah, fine, fine, fine.
Yeah. Oh, it's
oh, and
so
then
fun.
Greg is then Max goes, well, lucky for you, I don't think pitchers are going to be a part of your evaluation, so I think you'll be fine. And he's like, okay,
I
cool.
think you're in the clear.
All right, so they get in there. The first round, she's up with the children, up against. She's like her and the kids.
She
and
crushes like, those kids.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, it. Maybe try to make a butterfly. And she's like, I'm sorry, would you not like 12 butterflies rotating in synchronization with perfect glass flowers,
87 colors?
Like,
yeah,
she's like also all having their own life of their own.
It's so funny. She's like gloating, and he's like, can you try to show like some restraint? Yeah. Like, because you're just like dominating these kids. She's like, you love it. And he's like, I do.
It's so funny. I love them. I'm both disgusted and impressed by the delight with which you flaunt your superiority over a bunch of children.
This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
Needless to say, you don't play favorites, but every family has a natural unspoken hierarchy. Longest legs up front, shortest kid in the way back, and the one with the best attitude? Right smack dab in the middle. Sorry, buddy. The first ever Lexus TX is a three-row SUV where everybody wins. With loads of elbow room, cargo room, and leg room. For everyone, no matter where they sit, this is a new era of three-row luxury. The Lexus TX. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
It's so good.
Over a bunch of children.
Children!
Oh, God.
Okay, yeah, so then she gets taken away to do her private evaluation.
Oh, I hated this.
This was really rough.
Yeah, I knew this wasn't going to go well when Max was like, okay, but this doesn't normally happen.
I was like, oh.
Like, sorry, what? Yeah.
Nope.
Also, before we get into it, this could not have been more divergent. Oh, the entire time, you guys, all I was thinking was divergent.
It's like, a fear simulator.
It is legitimately the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so divergent. They're literally, it was the exact, the fear simulator, like, legitimately. And then there's a whole thing in Divergent where they're like, she's like, oh, I'm done. But no, actually, it's still happening. We're still in it. It's
surprise!
Still a fear simulator. And she's like, oh, like, it just, oh my God. And also, their names are Tiss and Triss, and I couldn't get past it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, I was like, this is the fear simulator.
Yeah.
Max is 4.
We have a lot of divergence. There is a lot of... Fourth wing, like, Zayden was very 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now in this, we've got Tiss and Triss.
Tiss and Triss, both going through fear simulators. So, yeah, but she does go through that fear simulator, and it is bad. So, pretty much, Nura is like, okay, girl, here's your private evaluation. You see those?
The balls.
All you have to do is put them in these here, over here. And she's like, basins, okay, she's like, okay, cool, cool. And then she's like, okay, never mind.
Shadows and darkness.
Fear. Nightmares. So then she's in the nightmares, and it's a bunch of bad stuff. But the worst one.
The worst is Xerath.
Xerath. Yeah. If we didn't hate him before.
This was disgusting.
He like tries to make her kneel, and he's just saying, kneel. Kneel.
Get on your knees.
Oh, it's disgusting.
And you're just,
I was like, fuck
bitch,
you.
Do not get on your knees.
Fuck you.
Don't you do
and
it.
And she's fighting back with, like, trying to get control of her mind. Yeah. I love it because, like, she has mind power, too. And I feel like she can work around it a little bit better.
Yeah, totally.
Because also at this point, we already don't like Xerath because of our sweet Max has been like, no, he's the Arch Commandant. He should have gotten you out of there if he was
right.
And she's like, he's the Arch Commandant? And she's like, yeah. And then at some point, she's like, well, I don't know. And then there's a point where then she even is like, he left like a 14-year-old girl there.
Yeah.
And he kept coming back and seeing me and kept leaving me there. And he was the Arch Commandant. Yep. And that's all happened already. And then we have this moment and it's like, oh my God.
It's awful.
Ugh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, and it's like the same line that Esmera said to her, like, get on your knees.
Yeah.
And it is brutal.
Yeah.
Okay, so but she draws a stratigram successfully for the first
time.
With her blood.
Yeah.
And like is able to get the final orb in. So she completes the evaluation and she's like lying on the ground. She like passes out and she wakes up and the first thing she sees and hears is like a furious Max saying, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I love
that line. I smiled even though I was like, whoa, it was so funny.
I loved it also because picturing Max in that moment. So I think also they mentioned he's like up on like a balcony, like leaning over, like watching. And so he's like, okay, this is weird that they're doing this. Okay. And then all of a sudden it shadows. Like, what?
Yeah.
And then, like, I think he can see what's going on, too. Like, uh-huh. I think they're all evaluating,
yeah, I imagined he could, yeah.
Is exactly like Divergent. So they can all see the nightmares happening and watching. And so then he, I can just picture him, like so mad, because he also hates Seraph. So, like, pacing and just, like, so pissed.
Yeah.
And then he gets down there, and Seraph's like, what the fuck was that? Like, exploding. I just love it.
It's I want to go watch Divergent now. I just want to watch the Fear Simulation one. I think it's, like, whatever book that is.
One.
Yeah.
So after she finishes her evaluation, Seraph says, oh, by the way, because she had asked Seraph to bring Serral back. I can't remember what she was asking as, like, in return.
That was the only reason she agreed to the Battle of Terran, is if Seraph brought Serral home.
That's right. Okay.
Yes. Good call, Christine.
Or made an effort to. And so he brings Voss back, which I honestly could not remember who Voss was, and I had to, like, search his name in my Kindle.
I didn't know.
I was like, oh, he's a stable boy. Got it.
Didn't remember him.
Well, Voss is missing a nose.
Yep.
He's full, like, Voldemort looking.
I thought about Voldemort, too.
He's pissed.
He's pissed, and he's, like, super angry at T'Sana because he blames her for all of... Sure. Because Threl... is in chaos, it's or they're going well. To that's not chaos, but they're going to war, and he was tortured. I mean, that sucks for Voss. Like, that sucks.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was texting Anna, and I was like, he's mad, that's valid. And I was like, yeah, he doesn't have a nose. I'd be pissed still.
They took my nose, bitch. Like, yeah.
I mean, I don't have a fucking nose.
I'd be mad too.
I was like, that's valid.
Because isn't he the one that they're, like, on their way out?
Yeah.
They talk to? Right.
Yeah.
And so.
But they lie to him, obviously. Right. So he's just mad. Yeah. And she's, like, feels guilty and whatever. But
like, really worst case scenario for her. Like, she's like, oh, I hope Serral's there and I hope I feel better. And instead it's Voss, and he makes her feel like utter garbage.
It's Voss with no nose.
Yeah.
And basically, Seraph patronizes her when she leaves. And he's like, well, we got you out. Like, it's, like, one little thing at a time. And she realizes in that moment when she feels defeated. And I think she realizes he didn't save me.
Right.
He could have saved a 14-year-old girl. And instead, he let me be raped.
Yep.
Repeatedly for 8 years. And she realizes in that moment that he holds all the power, and he's not helping her.
And she needs to play his game. She's like, I can't even be mad at him. I have to be like, oh, of course, you've done so much for me. But in her head, she's like...
Well, she's using all the stuff that she's learned.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, like, about how to...
Exactly.
She doesn't have the emotion reading because all these wielders can block the emotions. But she still... has, like, can read people, and she understands, like, I've got to play this game.
She knows how to manipulate men.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
So he gets back. Max is pissed about the trial. He's like, why aren't you angry? You should be fucking furious about all of this. And I love this. I love this, all of, like, this entire line.
Same.
This whole scene was so good.
But he's like, he keeps coming at her. Like, why? Because he's angry. He's angry on her behalf.
Yeah.
And he's angry for a lot of other reasons.
Yeah.
But I love how she phrases this and what she says. She goes, you do not get to tell me how I should feel about what has happened to me. Mm-hmm. And what will anger do for me? Why do I need that? So I can drown in it? So I can use it as an excuse to do nothing with my life? Which was a little bit of a dig.
A little bit of a dig at Max.
Yeah.
And he apologizes to her, which he does. Love an apology.
Love it.
Love an apology.
Love communication.
And then he like tells her, like, you know, don't let them ignore you. He says, you're better than they are. They should be terrified of you. Make them scared. Be angry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a Rain moment from the first Serpent book. He's like, use your anger. Yeah. Because remember?
Yes.
She's like, fear is a physical response. And she tries to tamper it. He's like, no, use it. Like, use that fear and harness that fear.
Yes.
And then he's said like, that's like, what it is. Be angry. I was like, oh.
I
Rain.
Love it.
It's Rain. I love you, Rain.
Hello, Rain.
I also love this line. Her response, she gets very quiet, and her response to him is, because if I allow myself to be angry, I will never stop.
Yeah.
All right. So then there's a party.
Oh, I love this ball.
Yes.
The she wears red,
a real great red dress.
A revenge dress. I love. Okay. I was totally Kim. Did you not get Ariana from like VPR?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that, but yes.
The red
girl.
With the cutouts.
Yes.
I was like, here for it.
Yes. Also, so it's definitely a from our Queen Taylor, look what you made me do moment.
Oh my
but
God.
But it's
I love
also
this.
Vigilante shit because she's like, I don't dress for women. I don't dress for men. Lately, I've been dressing for revenge. And I was like, this is it. It's so good.
I love like so the good. Line that I read that made me go, look what you made me do. I immediately triggered those lyrics in my brain is when she in her head is like walking up the steps in the big red dress and her scars are on display. And she says, look at everything you failed to destroy. Look at what your cruelty created.
Yes.
Look at what your cruelty created.
It is such a great line.
Guys, like
gorgeous. and so effective.
Just incredible.
And it's also exactly when she's decided to shift the game and be like, I'm going to be angry there.
Yep.
I'm going to be present here and not just be.
Right.
It's yeah. so good.
She decides to play the game along
she
with
She decides
Jareth
to play the
she's
game.
She's like, well, this is what we're doing. I've done exactly. this for 8 years. I can do
Max
this.
Because Max builds her up to where she thinks she can, you know?
Yes.
It's
so good.
Oh, that's true, Christina.
So she dances with Jareth. It's all a bunch of cat and mouse back and forth, la-di-da.
Yep.
Bantery.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing, but we're not saying it. Banter. And then she...
And Max.
Yeah.
They have a little dance under
the
stars.
Oh, you guys, this was sweet.
This got me.
Both of them were like, she was like, I'm actually not a great dancer. I memorized all the steps. And he's like, well, I'm not a great dancer either, so we can just fumble around together.
Oh!
And they do. They fumble.
They're like cute, and she like spins, but she like misses the spin, so he like tries it again.
It's so
cute.
And
then he like dips her. Oh my god,
it's so endearing. It's so endearing.
I love it so much.
It's so endearing, and it's so interesting because in that moment, whenever she was like, "Oh, I can't dance," I was like, "Girlfriend, you like were literally doing like fouettes pretty much with butterflies, so like you have to be able to dance, kind of."
Yeah.
But I'm so happy that you know it did make sense for her character. Like from brute force, she just learned those specific steps. Like she didn't learn how to dance.
She said, "I counted. I was just counting."
Yeah, and she was counting in her head.
She said, even if there was no music, I could do the dance. Yeah.
And it allowed them this moment of them to just be like so sweet and vulnerable and like adorable and fumbling. And it was
precious.
Just the sweetest.
Precious angels.
So I just want to read one quote from the dancing.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is her, well, obviously it's her POV. We haven't gotten Max's POV yet. But she said, I had spent my life begging to be looked at. Look at me, I cooed at the men I danced for. Look at me, I demanded of Ismaris in my killing breath. Look at me, I commanded to every person who gazed upon my tattered back. And I showed each of them pieces that were as fragmented as I was, little carefully chosen parts of a whole. But it was here in this gaze that I was seen.
Oh!
Seen for every incongruous part of me, and nothing had ever flooded me with such sweet, agonizing terror.
Oh, oh my god!
Like Carissa!
So good!
You little magician with words!
Such sweet, agonizing terror.
So good.
Carissa.
Y'all, I am so impressed with her writing. Like,
Agreed.
It's so lyrical.
It's incredible. Like, it's so beautiful.
It's so lyrical, but like this, like you said, Kim, it feels less lyrical than Serpent.
It is.
Somehow she creates, I just love how she creates moments and builds things with this beautiful language.
Mm-hmm.
Now comparing this to Serpent, I'm almost like, was Serpent just like too lyrical almost? Because in here, I feel like it's the right amount, but then I look back at Serpent, like, because in my head, Serpent was like, like so like lyrically.
So we did highlight a lot of beautiful
quotes,
but it was different. But
I think it was also the characters though are different. So I think for Tisana, especially with the language barrier, you're not going to get as many direct quotes. You get inner thoughts.
Sure.
And I think Max is like a man of few words.
Uh-huh.
Rain, I think is so much more upfront a little bit in some ways. And then obviously, and Violet, no, that's the wrong character.
What's her name?
Oh my god.
Araya.
Araya. And Araya. And Araya, I feel, is very also kind of. Well, it wasn't so much Araya. I feel like it was mostly Rain.
It was mostly Rain.
It was mostly Rain.
I think it was just like. But this writing fits this book to
this
me.
This book.
And I felt like that writing fit
that
Serpent
book.
To me.
Like, absolutely.
It fits. It's different, but it fits. And it just shows her range as a writer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To be able to write so differently, but it still feels like her. Like, I can still tell this is her writing.
Totally.
It's so fun to see her, like, build these worlds and these characters and with this same beautiful language, but it feels different. It's,
Totally. Guys, I was about to lose my damn mind. They get home.
Oh my god.
She's like, oh no, my dress. Can you help me? And I was like, yes.
This is like a
it's coming.
Help her. Help her.
I felt like a sex-starved addict. I was like, if they don't have sex, I was like, Kim, contain yourself. They've been through trauma. But she's like, can you take it off? My hair is stuck. And
literally.
He's like right behind her. And he's like, so then she's
breathing
like holding it up.
And he's like,
steps away. And she's like, don't. And I'm like, get her! I swear to God, if they don't kiss. I was so mad.
So
I was
mad.
Like, for the love of God.
And then like, doesn't he like make
a joke
or something?
She does.
Yeah, doesn't she? Yeah, she makes a joke, and
I'm like, this is not the time for joking.
God, yeah, I was like, damn it, Tisana, this is not the time for a joke.
No,
just kiss.
I was like so far behind y'all, and I remember reading this like, oh, this is what she was talking about.
Yeah, I was very annoyed.
Yes,
I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. I just realized that the quote I read was actually not from them dancing; it was from when he went to go take off her dress. But same thing.
Whatever.
She felt seen.
She felt seen. Either way,
she still felt seen, you know? Yeah. Felt seen then, felt seen then.
And it was just like that moment, and you were just like, oh, the tension because it between was both built of them. For
it, right? It was like, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, unzip the dress, help brothers. Oh, but yeah. Also this lower one, that one too.
Oh, did you get the lower clothes? Oh, yeah. I'm just holding it up.
And his knuckles are like going down her spine. I was like, every single little touch, I was eating up.
Yes,
give
and
it
then
to
she's
me,
like,
go.
Okay, good night. And I was like, no,
what?
I know. Oh, God. Kim, now you describe me as like being sex talked at.
I literally was like, I'm not a sex addict in my regular life. Like, I'm truly, like, I am a functional human. But like, in these moments, I'm like, if you're they like, don't have sex, I but I knew they weren't going to. But I'm like, maybe she'll surprise me and maybe they will. Maybe
we'll get a little something. Just give me a little touch, a little caress. Nope, got a little something.
Got nothing.
Just a tease.
Okay, so the next big thing is our meeting with Xerath.
Oh, you guys.
Okay, so Sarah, they're like, come meet at the, we need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. So she goes, and at some point on the steps, mm-hmm. right, they're like, okay, we're on the steps, we're going
we're
up.
Talking.
And at some point, this is where it comes out that she has, they've been testing her, because they said, we've been testing you. And he's like, wait, hold on, what? Yeah. And she's like,
They said that?
He's like, wait, they said they were testing you. And she's like, yes. And then he was like,
he freaks.
He like goes like silent he's like, don't, and he's like, scared.
Don't
go into the meeting. His eyes get huge.
Don't
he's
go
like,
in the meeting.
He's like, don't go. We can go by ourselves, Sithrell. Don't go. And she's like, what?
He's like, I'll get on a boat right now. And I'll
like, what are you talking about? Sweet. And then it's so sweet. And he's just like, please don't go. Don't promise them anything. And she's just like, sweetie, no. And like, it's very sweet. I forgot what she says, but it's very like, oh, I care about you, but no.
She says, I promise I will be okay.
Yeah.
And
it's like, oh, wrong.
Well, this isn't going to end well.
False.
I was like, I instantly go, well, she's not going to be okay.
Yeah, me too. I was like, that's the opposite of what you're going to be, girl.
Yep. And we were right.
She goes into the meeting, and this is when they're like, hey, you passed. We'd like for you to be a weapon. And she's like, I'm sorry, come again? Huh? And that's when she finds out that, like, Max used to have this magic, the Riche, which we're just going to call it Riche. We don't find that out till later, but it's called Riche.
It's awful.
That Riche used to like inhabit Max, and that's how he was able to end the war. And she's like, you know, because she begs him to tell her, and we find out later that it was a blood pact that he like literally could not tell her.
I liked that.
I agree too.
It worked. Because I was a little bit like, why the hell aren't you telling me?
I know. Me too. I was like, that's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
That's dangerous not to tell her, but then I love that it was like, oh, he couldn't.
Me too.
He couldn't.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So she's, you know, he's like, if you have this, like, you'll be very powerful, blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting. She's like, she agrees, but she's like, we're going to have a lot of stipulations.
Yes.
And we're going to put it all down. And she spends like hours in there writing up a contract.
And then she's like, and it's going to be signed in blood, and it's going to be a blood.
And like, specific. Like, she was very, very specific about stuff. She's like, no, I don't like that wording. That's too long. Put this in.
I was so happy that she said put the clause in there about like whichever happens first. Either the war ends, I die.
5 years.
Or five years. Yeah, whichever five happens years, first. And I was like, thank God, because I was like, this is some fae bullshit. Don't make a deal.
I was
going to
say,
our
minds. Fairies.
The fae, like, deals and. Bargains. We're like, make a bargain. But the sweetest thing she does is put in the for Max.
Oh. She asks for his freedom. And Nura like whips her head and she's like.
Yeah.
She's shocked.
She's like, he owes you nothing. He has nothing to do with yours. He doesn't owe you anything. And he can't be like charged for past
He's forgiven.
Things. Like,
everything he's is forgiven. Forgiven.
For everything is a clean slate.
Yeah.
And
Xerath makes some fucking little comment. Like, oh, wouldn't we all like that? And I was like, oh, shut up.
Shut up,
like,
Xerath.
Stop speaking. You monster.
Kate of
trash.
And then garbage human. And then
garbage trash. Whore.
And then the emakes
Oh God.
And then they sign it.
Finally.
So they sign it, yes. Okay. Oh, so the like other big thing.
Splits her freaking arm open.
Oh, yeah.
It gets all over Nura.
It's a little aggressive.
It's super aggressive.
Like it gets all over her. Nura.
It goes all over Nura.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Max is like, what the fuck?
Max is like, where is she?
Okay, but the other little thing that we all highlighted, I think, was the comment about all of a sudden we've introduced Fey.
Yeah. Spelled F-E-Y.
F-E-Y. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she says that, like, the power of this weapon rivals even that of the power of the extinct, keyword there, Fey.
So not extinct.
So, exactly. I'm like, so they're not
so
extinct.
They're alive.
So they're alive.
So that's why we put the word extinct, because they're alive.
Yep. It means the opposite.
Okay. It's opposite day.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
Which we can talk about this at the end.
Yeah.
But I like, I have all these ideas going in my head.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Okay. And a hazard detective hat on. You guys.
I have my detective hat on.
Oh, Lordy.
I love it.
Okay. So.
Oh, but wait, you guys. So she says yes. They lead her to this horrible white room with like no windows or anything. And there's this man laying there who's like inches from death. Something is clearly wrong with him.
Staring.
So bad. Like nothing happened behind the eyes, but he like creepily turns his head to look at her.
Oh, and y'all. Like looks. And then he like flinches. It's really freaking terrifying.
Awful.
So then they take Riche out. They like and put it in
weld
her.
It, mold it to her body. It goes into her body.
It gets into her.
Yeah. It's so bad.
And then they're like, this is gonna hurt. And then she's like, that was an understatement. This is
like her whole world. Like it just
So
she felt like she was dying. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's terrifying. And that's the end of part one. That's where we end.
She has got that Riche inside her, and it's all downhill from here.
All downhill from here.
Yeah, it's not gonna go well. And so but you know, we'll see. So
we'll see.
Okay, but this is where we're gonna stop part one.
Okay, all right.
Our next episode will be obviously part two. We'll pick up with Max's POV, which excited about.
God, I was literally so excited. Squealed.
So exciting, you guys.
What a fun reveal to save it till part two. Like this is the perfect time to give it to us.
So
you know?
I was craving it.
Ooh. Oh, we needed it. We needed it.
It
was so good. Okay, so until then, guys, make sure you are following us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast, because this comes out on July 6th, which is only 4 days before our Patreon launches, which is super exciting.
We're so excited.
So make sure you're following us so you can be up to date and get all the info that you need. And yeah, be sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers.
Bye.
Yay, bye.